You think you're better off alone? Do you think you're better off alone? Welcome to Mr. Cack and Me, and that's a song that I've got stuck in my head for the last month. So now I hope that it transfers over to you. I forget who originally sang the song, but I can hear her voice constantly running through my brain. And the reason it's running through my brain nowadays is because Trevor Daniel, a musician, has taken parts of that song and made his own song called Alone. And I like that song, but it also makes me think of the original song, which then gets stuck in my head. And that's just, it's a story now that you know that I've shared with you. So I've shared something with you. It's your turn. Share something with me. So this week, I was supposed to have a recording with my lovely wife, Stephanie. But she's recently overcome the tremendous uphill battle of COVID. She also got snowed in for a couple days. So over the last 3 weeks, we've been snowed in twice, which is fairly atypical of an Arkansas experience. Usually you may get lucky and have one snow every 3 years. And now so far in this new world that we live in, we have been snowed in to our house now twice in different weeks. But it was fun. The kids like to play in snow. So, you know, snow is always a fun thing when you're youthful. When you're older, you know, it's still enjoyable. It's still beautiful to see. But I don't know. It makes me feel claustrophobic because I know I can't leave. We live out in a small rural town, and our neighborhood is about maybe a mile away from the main and essentially only street of the small rural town we live in. So like nothing gets done. So while the neighboring town, Fayetteville, the bigger town, the bigger location, was kind of cleared out after like day two, or at least was serviceable day two of snowpocalypse round two, us out in my neck of the woods, we were stranded. There was no city or county crews coming to help clear our windy, curvy, not fun to drive on when packed with snow roads. So, you know, you kind of were stranded for an additional day longer than most people around you. And cabin fever sets in. So right now she isn't feeling good. She's over the COVID. So that's, hey, yay. She's just not feeling up to it tonight. So I wasn't able to record with her. And I was wanting to talk to her, as I mentioned previously, about Encanto. I really want to talk about that movie directly with her. Also, I wanted to make an episode with her for Valentine's Day, but maybe we will do a recording next week for Valentine's Week to share our love with you. I know, it's adorable. I agree. I very much agree how adorable we are. I recently gave my daughter, so we have two kids. I have a daughter that's 5 years old, and my son turned 3 years old earlier this week. Go, Carter. But we're experiencing. So I come from siblings, but my wife, Stephanie, she is an only child. So she's encountering these fun, exciting issues that come when you have more than one child, when you have siblings. And that's, birthdays are a tricky negotiation of spontaneous and irrational emotions with two tiny humans. So they don't necessarily understand why one person's getting a gift and they are being left out in the cold. And then that internal demon within all of us that's like, you're no longer loved, like it starts to set in and you can see it in the faces. So Charlotte, my daughter, the 5-year-old, she's having a bit of a difficult time right now dealing with the fact that we keep talking to Carter and keep celebrating Carter for his birthday. His birthday, again, was earlier this week, but we won't be able to have his birthday party for a couple of weeks from now. To help make the situation a little bit milder for her and so that she doesn't feel left out, I got her a gift that I was going to give her during Carter's birthday party to kind of help take her mind off of the fact that Carter's being showered with gifts, because again, young, you understand, like, they, you know, we see it, we understand it, we're adults, but that tiny little body's still trying to process everything and trying to figure out what's the appropriate response for emotions within current settings of discomfort. And you know, it's really hard when you're that young. So I don't want to be like, well, she should know better. She's five. She doesn't know better. So like, if you have a 5-year-old that knows better, congratulations on your very well adjusted, emotionally mature and advanced kid. That's awesome. Cool. But my daughter was going to struggle with it. She still kind of is getting a little pouty thinking about it when we talk about his birthday party. But I was with her. She picked out the gift for me that I was going to give to her. That was a bad idea, because then she was just fixated on getting the gift. So no matter how often I have said, listen, you know, if I give this to you now, you're not going to get a gift from me on Carter's birthday party. Do you understand? And of course she says yes in the moment. And I promise you, 2 weeks from now, she won't remember a dang thing about our promise and she will lose her mind. I'll understand. I'll try to do the best dad things I can do to keep her entertained. But it's a very tricky dance. I remember, I don't remember that young of issues with siblings, but my brother was 5 years younger than me, my youngest brother. My sister was three, something like that, years younger than me. So, you know, I understand the feeling of being robbed of something. And my baby brother, I mean, his birthday is literally 5 years and a day after when I was born. So it's even more noticeable. It was more noticeable as a kid of like, this little baby has taken over everything during my special day, because our birthdays started to get smushed together. And then eventually, as I got older, it just became my baby brother's birthday during that time. And I was given an envelope with some money, which, listen, I'm not going to complain about. Even as a kid, money as a gift is a gift I respect. Knickknacks and all that other crap, that was good up until a certain point. But there was an age I hit where cold hard cash money, I love that as a gift. You're never going to go wrong with me if you give me stinky printed paper money. Just throwing that out there for everyone. You know, you can find the Mr. Cack and Me show on Buy Me a Coffee. And if you want to throw some stinky cold hard cash at me, so I can go and take on weird habits, let me know. One of my weird things I did recently is before getting snowed in. So at least with this second round of snowing in, I felt better prepared, because I was already at home quarantining with my wife as someone that was close contact to someone positive with COVID. But before, you know, it all got kicked off, I was buying the last round of supplies so that way I could make, you know, breakfast and meals during the snow in process, because there would be no eating out. And when I was going to make my purchase, I stopped and I saw the beer aisle in Walmart, you know, as you do. And the alcohol aisle is always one of those things where, like, I'm not a big drinker. I really just don't like casually drink. The only time I really drink is when friends do some kind of social event and drinking's involved. So weddings, someone's having a birthday party, someone invites me to come hang out. Like, those are the times I drink. Outside of that, I really only drink soda and water. That's the life I live. Those are my vices. Soda and enough water to make me pee constantly. And maybe diabetes from all the sodas. But the water intake masks it. But so I will do this every now and then where some situation will kick in, like a Super Bowl or maybe a video game playing night's coming up or just something special I want to do. So I'll grab some random drinks. So I'm not the biggest beer drinker, so beer kind of just doesn't have a good taste. And most alcohol, to me, doesn't have a good taste. So I always buy, like, dumb stuff. And I hate hard seltzers. I think they taste bad. Like ass water. I think hard seltzers are just spit in a can. Hard seltzers taste like someone was drinking alcohol, swooshed it around in their mouth, and then spit it back into the can, and then they just packaged that and gave it to you. But that said, I saw Truly. So the only hard seltzer I've tried so far, I think, has been White Claw, because it was like the fad thing. So I wanted to just check it out to say I did it at the time that everyone was drinking White Claw. And then I think I might have tried a Bud Light hard seltzer, like a flavored seltzer. I can't remember. But I haven't had a Truly's before. And Truly, they had a couple different like themed packs. So I went with the Truly margarita style hard seltzer. And I'll say this. Other than the fact that I bought these, so now I am obligated to drink them, I probably wouldn't drink this normally. If this was offered at a bar, this would not be my go-to drink unless it was like a special $1 for a Truly's. Then sure, I will drink me some Truly's. But I will say, at the 5.3% alcohol by volume, that's a nice little kick for someone that doesn't drink alcohol regularly. And because it's margarita style, there's actually a little bit more flavor to it than like White Claw. White Claw was such a diluted flavor that I hated it. But this has a little bit more to it. I recently did the mango chili, and you know, there was enough flavor there. Like, again, not my favorite taste at all, but there was enough flavor there that it actually felt like I was drinking something. And that is at times enough to get me through it, you know, just enough flavor to be like, well, I don't fully enjoy this, but I can appreciate the moment that we're going through. There was also, so it's a pack, it's a variety pack. There's the mango chili. There is cucumber watermelon, or cucumber melon, cucumber watermelon. That is actually kind of, it's like a really refreshing taste, you know? I don't know. And then there was a strawberry hibiscus. That one is probably third out of the four right now. But I haven't tried the fourth one, and I think the fourth one might be some kind of lime flavor one, so I'm kind of hesitant because I feel like that's going to be the worst. I feel like for me, that will be the worst. Actually, you know what? Hold on one moment. I'll go get it, and I'll drink it right now. All right, so here we are. This is Truly classic lime margarita style seltzer, hard seltzer. So let's pop this bad boy open. We do it in a way that it audibly picks up on the microphone, so you know I'm legit. Oh, yeah. Zima. This might actually taste like a Zima. And if you are too young to remember Zimas, well, screw you. Guess what I'll say. So that tastes like, kind of like someone let a Sprite go flat and then got like a flat mellow yellow and dunked it in there and then just tried to wash it out with water, and like whatever was left they put in a can. So I think the hierarchy here now is the cucumber melon, the mango chili, the strawberry hibiscus, and the classic lime will be coming in at 4 out of 4 in the Truly's margarita style variety pack. So at least half of the pack I would encourage, like if you're a big hard seltzer fan, definitely encourage you to give that a shot. I am not sponsored by anyone, so this is unsolicited suggestions for casually drinking things that maybe don't sound appealing at all. So I truly don't understand the hard seltzer craze. It is kind of lost on me, but that's fine. Whatever. But I really do appreciate getting a chance to hop back on the mic. I know my schedule hasn't gotten much better. Last week, because of the snowed inness of everything, it was a little bit more chaotic. By the end of the day, or by the time we got our kids to sleep, just because we had been so trapped with one another, I was exhausted. I just did not have the energy to record. And, you know, my wife was going through COVID, and while realistically day one was the worst for her, it still was one of those things where it's like, I didn't want to make it, I didn't want to feel like she was having to do more than she needed to do in a situation where we had two young kids trapped in a house for 72 hours straight. And they have a lot of energy. So I try to do my best to be as good of a supportive husband and partner as I could be. So patting myself on the old back, eh? I think that's truly earned me another sip of this classic lime. That's a boring, you go from mango chili and strawberry hibiscus to classic lime. Like, what? Oh, gosh. Not refreshing. Blech. The lime flavor. It's the lime and the coconut. My tongue. Blech. Sorry, I was looking at my tongue. Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. Just embrace it. This is the Mr. Cack and me way. But I would like to further dive into weird stuff, me personally, but I do want to get back to, so something that I had been doing in the past was my friend Zach had been talking about some cryptids and local legends, and I've really enjoyed that, and it seems like some of you have enjoyed listening to those episodes as well. So I wanted to not just make this an entire episode about Trulies and being snowed in, but also bring back the cryptid corner. So this week we're sitting down. It is myself, Zach, once yet again, but we have a new friend joining us. Travis, TJ, as I refer to him, is joining us, and TJ helps me with the other podcast I do, Rage You Nerds, along with Zach. So it was good to have TJ on board with this. I don't know where his interest lies within the whole cryptid situation, but it's always fun to have people to talk to, so I hope you enjoy. But it's time once yet again, fellas, as we enter into the cryptid corner. That's right, our good friend Al goes out there, finds us a story about a critter creature, or urban legend, or I guess real story that has very urban legend-like qualities to it because it's very unsolved mysteries, and we have some discussions about them. Al gives us the stories, the details, the dates, and then myself and TJ will throw in some commentary. So Al, this week you have the Ozark Howler, and that's something I just picked up on because myself and TJ are from Ozark, Arkansas, and while Ozark is used in a broader sense in this, still deep within my heart, I hope this originated in Ozark, Arkansas. But let us hear, let it regale us with the tale of the Ozark Howler, Al.
All right. So this is the Ozark Howler, also known as the Ozark Black Howler, Hoo Hoo, the Nightshade Bear, and the Devil Cat. This legendary creature is purported to live in remote areas in Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas, but mainly in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas, Missouri. It has been described as being bear-sized with a thick body, stocky legs, black shaggy hair, glowing eyes, and prominent horns. Its cry is said to be a cross between a wolf's howl, an elk's bugle, and the laugh of a hyena. Though some state the howler's sound is just made by animals commonly found in their area.
So listen, first and foremost, I appreciate that our monster of the day is essentially, oh gosh, it's like there's an Irish urban legend about like a bog monster. And it feels like it's very much like that. But I don't know, there's something about the South and amalgamation monsters. So it's not that it's just a wolf bear. It's a wolf bear with antlers of an elk and the laughs of a hyena. Like it's it just is every hell beast out in the dark got together under Satan's sun, had sex, and created this abomination monster and an elk. An elk was involved. TJ, are you inspired by our freaky deaky jackalope werewolf that we have running in the Ozarks?
Need to see a movie on it, man. That's what we need. I think a movie about the Ozark Howler would be awesome. Just to see how they try to put all these things together. Because, like, you look online and you see some of these images of, you know, artist depictions of what this creature looks like. And you're like, that's just a bear with ram horns. What the hell?
Oh, gosh. There was a movie that came out not too long ago, and it's about these four friends that go out into the wilderness, and they like go into like this, I forget what kind of woods it is, but like they start to get
like the woods start to like move on them and stuff like that, and they feel like they're trapped. It's not the Blair Witch, but it's very similar to that. But eventually they come across the monster, which is like this big demon beast that has like a skull like head, but these big long antlers. And that kind of sounds like what this is. So maybe they just stole the Ozark Howler from us. Hollywood, possible. Man. Hollywood.
All right. So the earliest legend of the Ozark Howler is a meeting between Daniel Boone and the creature in Missouri in the early 1800s. Boone stated to have fired his gun on the howler in some of the versions of the story he told, but there was no evidence that the beast was killed and kept as a trophy. In 2011, the howler was supposedly spotted in Newton County, Arkansas. The most recent sighting was in 2015 when an area resident claimed to have photographed the Ozark Howler at Devil's Den State Park. A family north of Van Buren in the Boston Mountains of Crawford County set out trail camps after spotting what they believed was a cougar. The images were supplied to a Fort Smith TV station.
Well, hey, that's getting pretty close to home. Van Buren and Fort Smith, like that's as close to Ozark as I feel like we're going to get in this story. But go us! Go Van Buren! Go Van Buren Pointers and the Fort Smith, Mavericks, Grizzlies, whatever other school you have there. Go y'all. All the mascots got together and created this thing. Elkins Elks. Van Buren Pointers. There's probably a bear cat somewhere around here. And they all got together and created the Ozark Howler.
For many years, the Arkansas Game and Fish stated that the mountain lions were not in Arkansas. But in 2015, they came out and stated that mountain lions are in Arkansas but not breeding. Although hard evidence remains to be seen and sightings are rare, the Ozark Howler is a part of Arkansas' history. Cryptozoologists and biologists generally agree that most sightings are cased of misidentification and or maybe an unidentified species subspecies of a mountain lion or other creature.
That feels like that's a fair assumption.
The legend has inspired generations of artists and writers. In the 1930s, a local press published a small run of a book of folklore about the creature called Tales of the Ozark Howler. In the 1940s, folklorist Vance Randolph referred to the Ozark Howler by the name Hoo-Hoo in the book Ozark Superstitions. In 1973, Timothy Godwin's short story Hair of the Black Howler reimagined the Ozark Howler as a multidimensional time-traveling creature. Most recent, the Ozark Howler has been written about in children's books, which is Hunt for the Ozark Howler, Billy Bob's Howler, and as well as the Mason-Dixon series by Eric R. Asher.
So now we're finally getting to the juicy bits. This ain't just an abomination of every backwoods animal we can find. This is a God dang dimension traveler.
You ever seen Hot Shots?
Yes.
So there's a scene in Hot Shots one of the fighter pilots falls, you know, goes, lands in the tree. And then when he finally lands, like he gets up and he's got all these, you know, limbs and stuff sticking off of his helmet. And they think he's a deer and they shoot him.
By Hunter, yep.
And I just can't help but think, because bears do climb trees.
Yeah.
That something like this might have happened. Just and someone saw bear. It and was like, oh my God, it's a hybrid.
Oh dear God, it came from another dimension. I appreciate that once you hit that level, gosh dang, you're onto something. A multi-dimensional time traveling creature. That's implying that this thing has some form of sentience. This thing actually is on a mission to save Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
Also, can we talk about the greatest name for this thing? Who came up with the name Hoo Hoo? And I want to shake their hand, because you take a supposed time traveling interdimensional abomination chimera and you look at that thing and you're like, dear God, it's Hoo Hoo. Watch. You name it after a Teletubby, and that doesn't inspire fear.
It's literally like it was probably someone standing there going, who? Who? And then the person behind him, who? Like not seeing it, just writing it down.
That's fair. I'll buy it.
I mean, it is Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma area. Come on.
There's a lot of moonshine that taking place within the Boston Mountains, Ozark Mountain area.
So there's talks about the creature being a Siouxsith. Scottish, Irish, Welsh, and English settlers' homestead homesteaded the Ozark Plateau in the mid to late 1800s, and they brought with them their ancestral stories and mythologies. One story is the mythological hound, the Siyusith. This is feared as a harbinger of death. The settlers believed the hound would come to escort away the soul of a person to the afterlife, similar to the Grim Reaper. According to Scottish folklore, the hound is to be the size of a young bull with the appearance of a wolf. Its fur is shaggy and usually cited as being dark green, though sometimes white. Its tail is described as being long and either coiled up or braided. Its paws are described as being the width of a man's hand. Legend states that the creature was capable of hunting silently, but would occasionally let out three bays and only three. That could be heard for miles by those listening for it, even far out at sea. Those who hear the baying of the hound must reach safety by the third bark or be overcome with terror to the point of death.
Yep, that's one of the early episodes of The Real Ghostbusters. They call it a bog hound, and it comes to take some Irish man who stole gold or a leprechaun or shamrock or something. So there you go. The Real Ghostbusters somehow ties back into all of this, and I appreciate that.
You ever think that, let's say all these creatures are real?
I hope
they're just
are.
Sitting around like in a cave somewhere going, you think they'll ever find us for real?
I mean, this thing's traveling dimensions. He's just being an ass about it. he's like, well, I'm going to go back to the 40s and really fuck around. Here we go.
So I would go back to the time with you know, Daniel Boone, but that sumbitch shot at me.
Yeah, he took a shot.
It's like, I was just being like, hey, don't go this way. It's dangerous.
I just
some guy just started yelling hoo-hoo and like, couldn't figure it out.
I just popped out of my pocket dimension to give him a little hoo-hoo, and he got all upset. Again, as I've said before to you, Al, is a part of me always wants this to be something that's real, because that makes the world more grand and magical than the sad reality that we are confronted with every day. Like, if this exists, then anything can exist. I don't need scientists to try to explain it away. I just need to know that it's real. But, as we've stated with some of the other cryptids and stuff that we've talked about, how reliable are people in the Ozark Mountains? And how many of them actually will talk to a reporter? Like, how many of them are actually talking firsthand to a reporter? Because while Deliverance is set in West Virginia, that's also old-timey Boston Mountains, I assume. I've seen some of the people in like the St. Paul area, and I feel like they still are that way, just don't have a river to pick their banjo on.
Yeah, I totally understand that for sure.
But I mean, hey, wouldn't it be cool? The thing that always comes with like stories like this is, if there's one, why aren't there two? Because if there's only one, it's going to die out. And if there's two, why aren't there more that you can see? Something like this, I mean, would it be small scale? But when you start throwing in the mountains, how many of that do we actually know? I've seen enough wrong turns to know that once you get deep enough in them hills, you don't know what the hell's going on up in there. And you city folk don't need to be venturing in there, messing with Mother Nature's majesty and them inbred hillbilly monster people. But I don't know, it'd be cool if it's real. I'm also part of like the there's like a weird story about how like the Appalachians are just like have like this subterranean like pocket dimension of humanoid type things that live under that, and like people go missing all the time around the entrance to all these port caves and we don't know what's all in there. I'm all about that. The fact that people are like, you know, NASA doesn't go back and explore the ocean anymore because there's damn monsters in there. Sign me up. Listen, I hope Pacific Rim is real and we're all about to be destroyed because I don't live on a coastal town, so I feel like I'll survive for a little bit longer.
Unless it's Godzilla and it's one of those creatures that just, like, you know, seeks out something, like in Arkansas for
some reason.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming for the spinach plant in Alma.
Oh.
Needs its vitamins and vitamin A.
I'll never forget going to like Fort Smith from home and passing through Alma and seeing that spinach sign out there with Popeye.
Popeye. Yep.
I don't think it's still there.
No, it's not.
It's not. Yeah. Okay.
Because I mean, if it were, I would probably remember. I'd have to drive through Alma to work in Fort Smith.
Gotcha.
Like for 2 or 3 years straight. I don't remember ever seeing it. I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's been a hot minute.
I mean, they can't come for our gringos because gringos went out of business, and that was the best Tex-Mex in all of the River Valley. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I hope the Ozark Howler is real. Ozark Howler, if you're out there while traveling dimensions in time, because you're Doctor Who, I hope that you're enjoying this, and I hope that you follow along with us on a weekly basis. We would love to have you, Ozark Howler, who I will affectionately refer to as Hoo Hoo if he subscribes. Or she.
Yeah, could be either.
Could be either. Just... Not going to misgender a time-traveling dimension hopper.
Yeah. Something that you were saying about, like, if all these creatures were real, wouldn't it just be a more interesting place? And I thought of that one time a long time ago when I was working at Walmart, and I was working with this person who absolutely loved the show Supernatural. And I was like, isn't the world just like... Like, you just want to live in that world because it's so interesting. It's like there's, you know, all these creatures, not only like vampires and werewolves, but you got, you know, and just all these other things out there. And it's like this world just kind of sucks. I mean, yeah, it's like death around every corner in that one. But geez, like it's better than taxes.
There's death around every corner. But how many of the people are actually noticing that?
Yeah.
Like there's just two brothers traveling around. The only ones that seem fully aware. That's a vampire. No, that's just Jim. He runs the late night Piggly Wiggly. I'm a vampire. Okay. There you go. But yeah, I hope it's real. I hope people are hunting him down. I hope
the Ozark Howler is just like a pet of Bigfoot. I mean, let's just face it. It's just like Bigfoot taking a walk, you know, walking his Ozark Howler, walking his hoo-hoo.
Walking the hoo-hoo. I feel like that's a dirty
word. It's just a pet of the Boggy Creek Monster.
Yeah, that's one of our earlier cryptids, the Boggy Creek Monster, which, TJ, you should go back and listen to that story, because the account of some of the witnesses is kind of funny, because it's like, I think that lady was just upset with her husband, and she shot him. I think that's what happened. But she's like, I grabbed my gun, but the monster had already attacked him. And the guy's just like, yeah, whatever she said, man. She's like, get me out of here. Patch me up, and I need to go. But yeah, there's some fun stuff out there. This one's a little bit lighthearted compared to the three-part Texarkana Phantom murders. That one was a little bit more real because it's actual murders that did occur and an unsolved mystery with it all. And that one was like, well, they celebrate this in Texarkana, and it's like, shit. Like, good times for all.
You've seen the movie The Town That Dreaded Sundown. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard old Al talk to me about it.
Yeah, I like the original. I'm not sure about any remakes that they've done, but I remember the original, like 1970s, like the movie ended and you basically just see feet like walking by a train and like the guy's limping. And it's like you never see the killer's face, which I absolutely loved about the movie.
And that reminds me of the story Zach was telling about how maybe the murderer was exploded by a train. just got thrown in front of a train and ended it all. And I don't know why I'm laughing about that, because someone legitimately did die by getting smashed by a train. So whether you think it's the Phantom murderer or not, that's still someone that got hit by a train. Al, you've got two more cryptids, right, that you sent to me. Go ahead and pick which one you would like us to cover 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
Awesome. Like right now. Yeah, I meant now.
Okay. we can do the White River Monster next.
Heck yeah, White River Monster. This has been the Cryptid Corner, and we appreciate you all being here. I'm Mr. Cack, that's Al, and TJ on drums.
What up?
There you go.